Please the court. This case involves an incident in far eastern Turkey near the borders of Armenia and Iran in 1991, in which members of the PKK, which is a nationalist movement of Kurds, there are about 12 million Kurds in Turkey seeking to establish a nation, seized four people who had been in the area before seeking to establish that a mound they'd found was Noah's Ark, and who came back later after this incident. The men were held, two Americans who were the plaintiffs, were held for 20 days, 21 maybe. There's no allegation of torture. They were released and later returned and claimed they found the Ark. The suit was brought in 2001, and the claim is that it can be brought against the Arab Republic of Syria, which is a sovereign state, by virtue of amendment to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, and particularly Section 1605A7, which provides a procedure for the Secretary of State to designate sponsors of terrorism. 1604 states that the Act's provisions are subject to international agreements, because it recognizes that there are all kinds of treaties and things. So it manifested an awareness by the Congress that there are treaties that might affect what it has done here. And then for the first time, it purported to strip selectively, not equally, sovereign immunity from states that the Secretary of State had designated sponsors of terrorism. This court's very familiar with that process and probably the only court of appeals that is. The our law has always held that when a conflict seems to arise between a treaty.
Would you clear up for me what treaty this statute is in conflict with?
Yes, Your Honor. We have relied overwhelmingly on the United States Charter, which is a treaty signed by the United States. United Nations Charter. The United States.
I'm not at all certain how the statute is in conflict with that charter.
The charter provides, as it's in Article 2, which states its principles, that all members agree to live by these principles. The first principle is the principle of the sovereign equality of all members.
Mm-hmm. So presumably, if any of the members, assume for a moment, I'm not sure this is the case, assume for a moment that does create some sort of enforceable duty. I don't see how this statute acts in unequally. Any nation that sponsored terrorism would be subject to the same statutory breach of immunity, would it not? They didn't single out Syria or even any bloc of nations. They said any nation sponsored terrorism, didn't it?
Well, it does single out five countries only. There are only five countries that can be sued under this exception.
The statute, it's because of, well, not any other nation that the Secretary deemed had done what the Secretary deems these nations to have done would be subject to the same treatment, wouldn't it?
Well, there are roughly almost 200 states now that commit these identical acts or worse, and may have. Mm-hmm. They haven't been designated, and they can't be sued.
But they haven't been designated. It's not because of any flaw in the statute.
Well, they're treated unequally.
Not by the statute, right?
You know, by operation of the statute, yes. Because the statute is made by virtue of the designation, five nations subject to these burdens, and the others are exempt.
They're not exempt. The Secretary simply hasn't designated them.
Well, they can't be sued. At the present time,
if the Secretary designated them, then they could be, right? So your quarrel is not with the statute, but assuming all the other hurdles have been cleared, your quarrel would be with the way the statute is being applied rather than with the statute itself.
You all have decided the law on the designation process, which is quite remarkable. It's totally lacking in any form of due process. It's just a secretarial decision, secret. You can't even submit information.
You can't submit information.
I don't like that.
You can't submit information.
I'd argue that in for the Tamiya Tiger sometime.
I wrote the opinion that says you can submit information. You can submit information.
It's not easy and it's not meaningful, and not many actually do it. And you don't know what happens. You don't know what happens to it. It's not an open hearing, I'll put it that way. No, I quarrel entirely with the statute. Without the statute, this couldn't be done. So it's the statute that makes it done. And it's clear that the Congress did not consider the violation of the UN Charter. It's not just the UN Charter. The United States signed the Convention on Rights and Duties of States of Montevideo in 1934. It has this provision in it. We signed the Organization of American States Charter. It has this provision in it. Charter of African Unity. It's all through the law. It's woven into common law, into customary international law. And it's obviously the necessary foundation for relations among states, and that's what all the commentators are saying. You have the Supreme Court of Canada applying it in criminal cases in Canada recently. But it's only been applied in a few cases, and rarely, because generally the sovereign immunity of states has been recognized and accorded. And the effect is devastating. I mean, there are a few things that would establish how devastating it is more clearly than President Bush's veto a couple of weeks ago of the entire military appropriation with the war going on and everything else, because it might subject Iraq to claims arising from injuries during the Saddam Hussein period. And they wanted to protect the government that, because they realized it could be absolutely devastating. Syria, of all things, has been sued in the 9/11 cases. No one's ever claimed there was a Syrian on board, and I've never heard any claim that Syria had anything to do with it. Virtually all of the people there that were involved in the 9/11 case, that is, in the World Trade Center aspect, were Saudis. Saudi has sovereign immunity. They haven't been designated. So this could be absolutely devastating, and that it discriminates is beyond question, and that without this act of Congress, the discrimination could not have that effect. And the Congress could not have intended to violate the Charter.
Don't you think Congress did intend, if they didn't intend precisely what happened here?
What they intended was to attack terrorism, which is a good thing to do.
Well, they included terrorist states as an exception, or terrorist sponsoring states as an exception to the FSIA. Now, I can finally follow your argument that this is inconsistent with the UN Charter, although I'm not sure why the later doesn't control, but I don't follow what you mean when you say Congress didn't intend this. Why isn't this precisely what Congress intended?
I can give an even clearer example in a case that we had. The Congress, in about 1987, enacted a law prohibiting the PLO from being in the United States anywhere.
Now, let's talk about this.
Well, this is a case, and this is a precedent that will answer exactly your question of what was the Congress thinking about. Their language in the statute includes this. The Attorney General of the United States will file a suit to close the PLO mission to the United Nations. how specific can their purpose be? And what did the court say? So look, did you consider the UN Charter? Did you consider the home agreement between the United States and other?
You're going to tell me what you think Congress meant by this exception to the FSIA. You said that this was not what Congress intended. I'm asking you what you then say Congress did intend.
Well, if they intended to violate the UN Charter, they ought to say so. It's a pretty serious thing. And this is the founding
What is this principle that you're not arguing that under the UN Charter, even if it were binding on the United States as positive law, that the United States is obligated to treat all countries equally? Is that your argument? So in other words, let me just follow up on that. Consider the implications. So Congress passes a foreign aid package, and in sub-Saharan Africa, those countries get more money than the countries in Europe. Is that a violation of the UN Charter?
That's really sovereign equality, Your Honor.
Which would
different. That has nothing to do with sovereign equality.
What is sovereign equality, then?
No, it doesn't say that they have to be treated, all nations have to be treated equally. It says the sovereign equality of the United States. So it's only attributes of sovereignty. Trade are not attributes of sovereignty.
Trade is not an attribute of sovereignty?
Loans and things like that are not attributes of sovereignty. They're ordinary but when you it's an attribute of sovereignty when you say, we're going to grab you by the lapels and bring you into our court halfway across the world and tax you billions of dollars. That's a direct assault on, you've got a war of aggression, which the Canadian court talked about at length, where you intrude upon the sovereignty when you get on their soil and start shooting their people.
Was our invasion
on their sovereignty when you tell the president of a foreign country that he's got to come here and testify, or we'll help you out, we'll let you testify.
What about dropping bombs on Afghanistan? Is that a violation of sovereign equality?
Certainly. Any intrusion on the...
No matter what the provocation?
Well, no. If it's justifiable under in time of war
what if Afghanistan were sponsoring terrorism against the United States? What if Afghanistan sent planes and into tall buildings? Are we justified then in attacking Afghanistan?
We did. It's my personal view that the attack on Iraq.
I don't care about your personal. Your personal view is irrelevant.
60 years in the law, and my personal view is an attack on Iraq is a war of aggression.
I wasn't talking about Iraq.
Be serious.
I wasn't talking about Iraq. I was talking about Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, I think, had justification. It's in the nature of hot pursuit, which international law. But I don't think anyone has argued that there was a.
If a country sponsors terrorism and we say we may not necessarily attack you, but what we're going to do is hold you responsible. And the way we're going to hold you responsible is we're going to allow people to sue you.
Yep. But this law obviously only makes five countries in the world subject to this act.
So what?
That denies them of equal protection of their sovereign immunity.
No, all it means is that the United States, under your theory, should grab more countries and subject them to lawsuits.
You face a total breakdown of international law if you start violating the principle of sovereign immunity, which protects these attributes of sovereignty. It doesn't protect your trade or your friendships or your foreign aid or things like that. That's not an attribute of sovereignty. What sovereignty is your right to conduct your activities as your government in your way. And when another government tries to impose its court on something that didn't happen in the United States, it happened in eastern Turkey, selectively, if we could ask about why, there are many conducts that have been committed that are clear violations of international law. They're much worse than this by 150 countries or more, when they're doing things on other people's soil. And we haven't caused them to be subject to our civil lawsuits here for injuries.
You set forth the words of 1605A7 in your brief, then. I mean, we have a rule that says you're supposed to set forth the statutes that you're relying on. Neither brief here sets forth the statute. What are the words in that statute that you say restricts this to five countries?
I've got hearing aids and I can't hear.
I have hearing aids too. I'm sorry.
This is better than mine. Then. I just put new batteries in while I was sitting back there.
Don't find the words of the statute in your brief immediately. We do have a rule that says you're supposed to put in a statutory appendix, and neither side did this time. But what are the words in 1605A that you say restricts this to five nations unequally?
Well, the words in 1605.
A7, I believe.
A7, yeah. And they're they're the words that, that say, unless they've been designated.
Yeah. Does it restrict
so that
the
excludes,
violations, those that can be designated?
It excludes, it discriminates against those who have been designated, yes, right there.
Well, just as criminal law discriminates against those who have not been indicted or tried or convicted, that's the consequences of an act. It's not.
They can't be, Your Honor.
It's not an inherent discrimination when you wouldn't designate a nation that isn't committing terrorism. You may have missed some, but.
We put Cuba in countries like this and hold on here for years. When other countries are marauding, there's nothing here on the Darfur. Okay.
Your time is up. We'll hear from the government.
Well,
I mean, excuse me. The appellee.
The, well, I would urge you to consider that this is a violation of the U.N. Charter and many other international organizations.
We'll hear from the appellee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Good morning. David Strackman for the plaintiffs, appellees. This case, as Mr. Clark correctly indicated, involves a three-week kidnapping of American citizens in Syria by PKK terrorists. At the kidnapping was a Syrian military official. Syria has been a state sponsor of terrorism.
Counsel, we'll advise you, you can be brief if you'd like to. We read your brief with me.
Would you prefer that I be extremely brief?
If
so,
I don't have any questions for the appellee.
No.
We have no questions.
Okay, thank you.
Jason submitted.